You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I'm going to start today's message with a story. I admit I don't know where I got this story. I don't know where I heard it or where I read it, but it stuck with me. It illustrates beautifully what I want to talk about today. The story goes like this. Adam and Eve had sinned, so the holy and just God could not let them remain in his perfect paradise. They were expelled. As Adam and Eve trudged from paradise into their new, real world, God looked down from heaven, and he felt sorry for them. God knew what was ahead of his children, the thorns and thistles, the decay and death. So God, in his compassion, decided to give Adam and Eve a gift that would help them cope in this difficult world. God gave them the gift of tears. Now the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve did truly live, and the Bible tells us that they sinned against God. That's true. The little story I just told about tears is not from the true biblical account. And yet our Creator did give us the ability to cry. He gave us the gift of tears. Tears are a gift that we all use. Babies do. Before they know how to speak the language, they know how to communicate with their cries and their tears. Those cries and tears send a clear message to Mom and Dad that something is not pleasing me, and I would like it changed. When the baby gets a little older, tears remain important. Tell a child no, and crocodile tears well up. I can still see my little daughters. No, says Dad or Mom. Immediately, little Elizabeth or Katie's lower lip would start quivering. Deep breaths were taken, and those big crocodile tears would flow. I don't know what kind of parent you were, but when those tears came, I couldn't take it. I bent down and gave them the biggest, the warmest hug I could. What a gift the Creator gave when he gave us tears. The gift of tears is for adults, too. One of the biggest frauds of all time was the idea that adults, especially men, shouldn't cry. Part of the required office furniture for a counselor is a box of tissues. Men and women with marital problems, failed careers, parents heartbroken by wayward children, we all know how to cry. Of all occasions that call forth tears, the most oppressive has to be the death of a loved one. I've been there. You have too. The word comes that someone close to you has died, and you cry. In front of others or privately, what difference does it make where? The fact is you cry, and you cry your heart out. The grave swallows up our loved ones. It stills their voices. It removes their presence. No more will they be with us. No more will we hear their voice. No more will their peculiar habits amuse us or aggravate us. No more. Death just swallows them up. The only thing you have is an enormous empty feeling and tears. You have tears. Some church members have told me, Pastor, what would we do without our faith? Calling at the home after a death, as we pastors do, or standing in the funeral home at the time of the visitation, we recognize that there is a difference in tears. St. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep, fellow Christians, so that you do not grieve like the others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we also believe that in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. We shall always be with the Lord. And now then, comfort one another with these words. The tears of Christians. And by Christians, I don't mean nominal Christians, the people who show up in church once in a blue moon or when they need a baptism or wedding. By Christians, I mean people who know they are lost sinners whose only hope is Jesus Christ. the tears of true Christians are different from the tears of others. Their tears are different because they glisten with hope. A Christian always has tomorrow. There is life after childhood disappointments. There is life after divorce. There is life after your career fails. And there's a fantastic life after death. We Christians are a pilgrim people with our hope set on tomorrow. The psalmist says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Psalm 42 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." St. Peter says, "Let us praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, has in His great mercy given us a new birth. Now we have a living hope." Christians cry, but our tears glisten with hope for a better tomorrow. You might say that the tears of Christians are like the rainbow. The rainbow is a God-given sign of hope. The rainbow is caused by the rays of the sun striking moisture in the air. The tears of Christians glisten because of God-given hope. But rainbows disappear. And here's the good news. So shall the tears of true Christians. When a rainbow disappears, we have to go back to this real world. But when our Christian tears finally disappear, we'll be going to something no human words can convey. We'll go to heaven. Psalm 23 is a psalm of Christians. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." When you die, you will go through the valley of the shadow of death. Death will not detain you in the valley, for the power of death was broken when the crucified Christ was raised on Easter. Because Jesus lives, His true believers shall pass through the valley and into the joys of heaven. In heaven, your soul and your resurrected body will have eternal bliss. The words are inadequate. Revelation chapter 7 describes heaven at length in this way. "After this I looked, and there was a large crowd that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and carrying palm branches in their hands. And they called out with a loud voice, saying, 'We are saved by our God who sits on the throne and by the Lamb.' And all the angels stood round about the throne and around the elders and around the four living creatures, and they bowed before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' And one of the elders turned to me, saying, 'These people dressed in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?' I answered him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he told me, 'These are the people who have come through the great suffering, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. They will never be hungry again, nor will they ever be thirsty again, nor will the sun ever overcome them, nor any burning heat, because the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I think that is perhaps the most beautiful of all the passages in the Bible. When you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Rainbows come and rainbows go. We Christians are going to have tears in this life. But when we go to heaven, when we go to heaven, then God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And this is all because of our God and Savior. Heaven is not your birthright. It's not mine. We're born with sin. And how many times hasn't that original sin shown itself in our actions, our thoughts, our words? Sin has brought death into the world. As St. Paul says, sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. And so death also spread to all people, since all sinned. Heaven is not our birthright. Tears, bitter tears, are what we've earned. But bitter tears are not what God wants your life to be about. God does not want death to smother his people. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came as one of us. He was born. He was raised. He experienced life the way you and I experience life. And Jesus knows tears. When his dear friend Lazarus died, the Bible tells us poignantly that Jesus wept. And finally, Jesus died. Life hadn't treated him fairly. His enemies trumped up some charges. A corrupt judicial system had him condemned. He died. And that'd be just one more sad story, like so many of the sad stories we continually hear, if it were not for one fact. This Jesus is God's own Son. He had no sin. He didn't deserve to die. But he did, because he was sent for you. He was sent to suffer God's righteous anger at your sins so that you won't have to suffer. Christ died for you. The innocent Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world and your sins. He did that. And God the Father was pleased with his Son's sacrifice. So he raised Jesus to life on Easter morning. God took his Son through the valley of the shadow of death into life. It's because of Jesus, the Savior, that God will bring you through death into the life of heaven. It's because of Jesus that our tears glisten with hope. It's because of Jesus that we can endure anything in this world, because we have something better awaiting us. In this world, we have no abiding city. But we look for the one that is to come. Jesus has conquered death. Thus the Bible says, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Sin gives death its sting, and the law gives sin its power. But thanks be to God who continues to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this will not happen to all people. Those who are not true Christians, those who have disregarded this sweet message of forgiveness, those who have been too occupied with themselves and too little occupied with God, they will find themselves in the valley of eternal death. And that is hell. There, the Bible says, will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, Pastor, that's a terrible thought. Isn't he a God of love? Yes, he is. The sacrifice of his own son proves how much he loves us. But can people in this country despise his love forever? Day after day, he's begging people to leave their sins and come to him. Every time a sermon is preached, every time the church bell rings, every time you drive past a church, every time your radio dial comes across a gospel program, every time your mail brings you religious literature, every time your eyes see the Bible, time after time after time, God is begging you. He's begging the people of this country to turn from sin and come to him. You who say God wouldn't send someone to hell because he is a God of love, you are wrong. God is begging people to come to him now. How long can you spurn the Almighty? Now is the time. Now is the time to come to him. How important that you and I set our sights on that heavenly homeland. Come to Christ, your only Savior. Turn from sin. Be diligent in hearing and studying God's word. Be concerned for one another's spiritual welfare. Pay less attention to the things temporal and more to the things eternal. Christ lives. Our loved ones who have died in this faith live with him now in heaven's joys. And one day so shall we. I know that my Redeemer lives, What comfort this sweet sentence gives! He lives! He lives who once was dead! He lives, my ever-living head! He lives to silence all my fears! He lives to wipe away my tears! He lives to calm my troubled heart! He lives all blessings to impart! Amen.